Father, thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us and blessed us with. Thank you for the privilege to be back in your house this Sunday, this day of worship, this day of adoration, and this day of praise. We thank you for the book of Revelation once again. We thank you for the Bible from Genesis to that last book, Revelation. We thank you so much. Your word has such great power, impact, direction. It is everything that we need to live a life pleasing unto you, a life that can be used to advance your kingdom. I pray that you'll give us the understanding that is needed this morning as we talk about the rapture. How encouraging it is to know that one day we're going to receive a resurrected, glorified body, and every glorified body is going to be unique. Thank you for letting us know that the best is yet to come. Help us to embrace it, if you will, and I know that you will, that we may embrace it in such a way that we'll want to share it with everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white. For we learn every day we meet, they are all so precious in your sight. I wish the world could understand that. For Jesus does not use the racist card. All are extremely valuable and precious to him. Now teach us, I pray, what we find in your word about the rapture. We ask this all to your glory and our growth in Christ's likeness. Amen and amen. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, actually through verse 18. Here we go with verse 15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. I want you to take your printout, if you will. You'll notice the title is The Rapture, as we talk about the rapture of the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe most in church today are very, very familiar with these passages of Scripture, but we need to learn them and learn them well so we can share these with others as we cross their path that are needing the assurance and information in reference to life after death and what it pertains to. Well, the rapture will be twofold. A, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and B, the translation of the living saints. Question number one, who is the corruptible? A, the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ. Number two, who is this mortal? The answer, the living saints, for they must put on immortality. Now you have 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55. I want you to take something to write with. We're going to underline some words here. Let's begin underlining. Underline the word when. Underline the word perishable. Underline the word puts on. Underline the word mortal. Underline the word immortality. Underline the word scripture. Underline the word fulfilled. Underline the word that says death is swallowed up in victory, that is vanquished forever. Oh, death, where is your victory? I'll go ahead and give you the definition of the word victory. For you find in the New Testament, victory is always and completely accomplished by Jesus Christ. I'll repeat that. In the New Testament, victory is always and completely accomplished by Christ. So we read that and we come up with this. We are super victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now I'm going to give you the definition of the words that we underlined or circled just a moment ago. Look at the word when. The word when means at the time when a certain condition is met. At the time when a certain condition is met. Then look at the word perishable. It means what easily perishes, like the breakdown of the physical body during one's lifetime. It means what easily perishes, like the breakdown of the physical body during one's lifetime. The next phrase, will have put on the imperishable. The imperishable refers to our unique glorification. Every saint is going to have its own unique glorification. Our unique glorification places the child of God beyond the reach of all decay, disease, and deterioration. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our home, our physical body, is torn down, we have a building from God that is glorification, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Then let's look at that word mortal. When you talk about the mortal, you're talking about our flesh and blood existence. Our bodies, wonderfully made as they are not made good enough to be taken into heaven. So who is subject to dying? Well, as mortals, we all die and experience decay in the grave. But something is gloriously reversed at Christ's return when he rewards each believer unique glorification at their resurrection. Then look at the word immortality. Immortality is a gift that comes from Christ who possesses deathlessness. Immortality is a gift that comes from Christ who possesses deathlessness. Question, what is something that only Christians put on? To put on immortality is to put on deathlessness, and this does not happen until the return of Christ, and that is a reference to the rapture, which is referred to as the next big event in the church age that you and I are now in. Notice the next phrase, then will come. Come means transitioning from one realm, one condition to another. It is going on to a new state or condition. And then there is that phrase, and it may be a little different in your Bible, about the saying, which has to do with the scripture. Now the word saying refers to logos, refers to logos. So here the scripture, which is the infallible revelation of God. It is the good teaching. And then there is another phrase. It is referred to as that is written. That is written is in the Greek perfect. And it means that is born of God. What is born of God? It is the Word of God. And it is a timeless revelation of God. Sorry for that right there. I hope that can get fixed very soon. So let's reread that. A Greek perfect pertaining to the phrase that is written, meaning that is born of God, that is the Word of God, that is Scripture, and Scripture is a timeless revelation of God. It is non-negotiable. It is never going to change. It is going to stand written as it was when it was first written a long time ago. Well, let's go back and reread 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54 and 55. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality. Here's a note I'd like for you to write down pertaining to immortality. It is an existence in communion with God. It is existence in communion with God. So what are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to have a resurrected, glorified body. We're going to have a unique glorification. Are we going to commune with God? Absolutely. That's what the Word of God has to say. So we're going to commune with Him. No doubt, I think we will walk with Him. We're going to have a tremendous relationship with Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father that we could not have down here on planet Earth. All right? When this perishable puts on the imperishable and this mortal puts on immortality, then the Scripture, again, the Scripture refers to the Logos, the timeless Word of the living God. Again, non-negotiable. It is never going to change, no matter how you may spin it. Then the Scripture will be fulfilled that says, or that is written, death is swallowed up or gobbled up in victory. You'll notice vanquished forever. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now you'll notice right below that, the last two lines refer only to those who are changed without dying. For it is only those who will not die who can shout again, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he is taunting death and the grave. He's making great fun of it. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, you have for the love of Christ. Underline the word love. It is agape love. It is the love of Almighty God. It is the love that He is. It is self-sacrificing love. It is a supernatural divine love that you receive at the moment of reception of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I hope you'll write this down. For the love of Christ, I want you to notice it is the love that Christ has for us. How many times do you say during the day, and I'm learning more and more, to say, I am so glad that Jesus Christ loves me. And I sit there for a moment and close my eyes and just meditate on that. It is something for me personally to know that God loves me, that Jesus Christ loves me. And listen to this. It is the love that Christ has for you and for me that is working in us, mastering us, driving us, compelling us, transforming us. And if we are affected by the love that Christ has for us, it has an attractive power. That is in John chapter 12, verse 32. He says, if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. For the love of Christ controls and compels us. The word compels means to urge forward or to move on. It compels us because we have concluded, after sifting out and analyzing the evidence, this, that one, underline the word one, you'll notice the spelling in the capital of the letter there. It is a reference to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who died. Underline the word died and write crucified. And then look at the word for and underline the word for. So let's put this all together. For the love that Christ has for you and me controls us and compels us because we have concluded after sifting out and analyzing the evidence that one, that is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, died. He was crucified on the cross over 2,000 years ago. He was the one we all know that paid our sin debt in full. We owe nothing as a result of that. For all, therefore, all, underline the word all, and it refers to believers. All believers died. Underline the word died. And what does that mean? They died a death to the power of sin, self, the devil, and the world. So here Paul expresses his longing and the longing of the saints to be among those who should not be unclothed by death, but who should be clothed by immortality without dying. In his letter to the Philippians, while Paul hopes that if by any means he may attain unto the out from among the dead, resurrection, yet he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high out and up calling of God in Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. That is, while Paul would esteem it a great thing to rise from the dead at the first resurrection and be caught up with those who should be changed, yet he would esteem it a prize if he could be caught up without dying, that is, live until Jesus Christ comes back. I think all of us would love to be caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air, not having to die, but be alive when he comes, and that could happen right there. Now, there are a lot of believers out there that tell me a lot, Terry, I'm going to live my life of unbelief. I'm going to be my own God and do my own thing. And then when the rapture happens, I'm going to confess Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want you to do something. The rapture will take place in the twinkling of an eye. Are you ready? Good. I'm going to blink my eyes, see how far you get. One, two, three. How far did you get?
Not very far.
Not very far, right? Okay. Well, here's a question, page two. What will the rapture be a surprise? And will the rapture be a surprise? Matthew chapter 24, 42 through 44. So the alert gives strict attention. Be cautious and active in faith. For you do not know which day, whether near or far, your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you who follow me must also be ready, because the Son of Man, and that is Jesus Christ himself, is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. When Christ comes back, it will be when we are not expecting him, he says. He will come as a thief comes. Does a thief announce his coming? The answer is no. Does a thief come for a certain purpose? The answer is yes. Does a thief come to take everything in the house? No. What does a thief take? Only the precious things. Does a thief come to stay? No. As soon as he secures what he is after, he departs. So Jesus, at the rapture, will come and take away the saints. And I ask you something. What is the most precious thing in your house? A saint. Somebody say, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to take that most precious. Is that correct? And what is going to be most precious for the taking? None other than a husband or a wife who has received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. A child, a boy or girl. I would say a baby, but you know what? A baby will be automatically taken. But I ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is that the most precious thing in your life, Father? Have you sat down with your wife? Have you sat down with your children and talked to them about receiving Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? Did you let them know of all the things in the house that we can have today, that they are the most precious? And when Jesus Christ comes back, he's not going to take what is precious by worldly standards, but he is going to take what is precious that has come about through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the only thing precious in my house and the only thing precious in your house is that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And when it is time for the rapture, when it is time for Jesus Christ to come and take His children, you can be assured that you are going to go back with Him and you will have an eternal communion with Him and you will spend eternity with Him. And you are going to have some talks like you've never had before. You will have conversations like you've never had before. You're going to see things you have never, ever seen before. You will hear things you've never heard before. For you are entered into the presence of Almighty God. You have stepped into eternity. Because Jesus thought you so precious, He brought to you an opportunity some time ago on planet Earth in a fleshly body to hear the gospel of Christ and to be witnessed to. And by the grace of God, which grace is a gift and faith is a gift, you accepted Christ upon the word that you received and heard from the written word of Almighty God. Now you're saved, saved, saved. And you, and don't forget it, are the most precious thing in the eyes of Almighty God. Back to the printout. So Jesus at the rapture will come and take away the saints only. So the Lord at the rapture will leave the wicked and the great mass of the heathen behind. Who are the wicked? The unbeliever. The unbeliever that ran for Congress, the unbeliever that ran for the House, the unbeliever that ran for the President of the United States of America, the unbeliever that was clothed so well, that had so many diamond rings and the best of cars and the most expensive of homes in this world, they thought they were high and lifted up. They thought there were really something to be heard and seen, privileged to be in their company. But they are nothing but heathens in the end because of their rejection of Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. So the Lord at the rapture will leave the wicked and the great mass of the heathen behind, for those who will be taken will be comparatively few. We know that Jesus Christ talks about His body of believers. He refers to them also as the bride of Christ. You might also refer to the bride of Christ in the body of believers as a remnant of believers that receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, for they are a few that has been taken out of the great mass. Question: will the rapture be elective? The answer is yes. It will not only separate the saints from unbelievers, but it will separate husbands from wives. I don't know what a lot of husbands are going to do if the wife is a Christian and she is taken at the rapture. She's done everything for him. She's taken, she's gone, she's out of sight. She's in a new place. She has a new destination. She has arrived. And then you have a husband who has depended upon her for everything. She went to church. He said, I don't have time. I don't believe in that stuff. Quit bothering me and quit talking to me. And then he says to her, if you don't stop going to church, then I am going to leave you. I have heard that statement made. I asked the wife, what did you say to your husband? She said, bye. She said, because one day I'm going to stand in front of Jesus Christ. He is the judge of all mankind. And I'm going to answer to Him, and I'm not going to answer to you. I am sorry in saying bye, but you leave me no choice. Luke 17, 34 and 36. I tell you, on the night when Messiah comes again, and who knows if it'll be night or day, there will be two sleeping in one bed. The one, the non-believer, will be taken away in judgment, and the other, the believer, will be left. There will be two women grinding at the mill together. The one, the non-believer, will be taken away in judgment, and the other, the believer, will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. The words men and women in this passage are in italics. That means that they are not in the original. And so the passage should read, there shall be two in one bed, husband and wife, or two brothers or two sisters or two friends. Two in bed indicates night. Two grinding at the mill, morning or evening. And two in the field, mid-noon. Now look at what it says at the bottom of the page. This shows that the rapture will happen all over the earth at the same time, or as the apostle describes it, in a moment or the twinkling of an eye. Turn to page 3. Top of page 3, you have a question. Will this sound of the trumpet be heard by all? Well, will the dead in Christ hear the sound? They're going to hear the sound, exactly. This sound will be intensely penetrating. There will be no graves so deep, no catacombs so rock-covered. Nothing so thick that this divine sound will not penetrate. The dead in Christ shall hear the cry, maybe something like this. Awake, you sleeping saints, and arise from the dead. Your eternal morning has come. Question. At the moment of the rapture, what will the air be filled with? The spirits. The spirits of the dead in Christ. They're coming back to get their bodies raised and glorified. Will the cemeteries and country churchyards look like plowed fields? I don't know. They could. Will monuments and grave slabs be overturned and vaults be shattered by those that are coming out? Just think. If it is night on one side of the globe when the rapture occurs, the community will wake up in the morning to find all the real Christians gone. Won't it be something, husband and wife, as you're getting a good night's sleep and you reach over, as you have a tendency to do, and kind of pat the other there, to say, yes, I'm still here. It's me. But then you reach over there and your hand goes from here down to the mattress very quickly. And so you will probably get up and turn on the light to see what the problem is. Is she in the bathroom at that time of night? Is she somewhere sitting on the recliner watching TV at 3 o'clock in the morning? She's not in the bathroom. There's no one in the living area or the den watching TV. There's no one in the kitchen fixing a cup of coffee. What's just happened? Oh, I remember. I remember hearing something about the rapture on the radio. I remember time and time again, somebody would come knocking on the door and say, we're from such and such church. Do you mind if we take just a little bit of time and talk to you? We'd like to witness to you. We'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ and how important He is. And that He is the Son of God. He was raised from the dead by the power of God. And I'll say it again. And on the cross He paid your sin debt in full. Any questions? You heard just enough that when you enter the 7-year tribulation period after missing the rapture, you heard just enough for it to dawn on you what's just taken place. 7 years of tribulation. The Antichrist is going to come out of chaos. Chaos is sweeping the world. We've seen it happen before many times. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. We have a party on Capitol Hill. We call it Republicans and we call it Democrats and a few independents mixed in. We have one party that says, I go by the truth, they say. We have another party that is very anti-God. More fixed on themselves and money and power and greed than the people they were elected to take to Washington and stand up and be a voice for them. So I ask you, I don't know when the rapture is going to occur. I just know it is. That's enough for me to want to get prepared. It's enough for me to turn my unbelief into belief in Jesus Christ. And people ask me all the time, you're a preacher, how are you saved? Do I confess my sins and I grin and laugh and chuckle a little bit and say, you can't remember all your sins? It would be an incomplete confession, correct? How are you saved? By grace? By Jesus doing for you what you cannot do for yourself? It's by faith, and faith is a gift from God, giving you the ability to trust, to put your faith in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You see, Jesus is not only a Savior, He's Lord, He's Master. He's the one that steps into your life to control your life in a good way. He's the good teacher. He has the good message. He has the rescue program and plan that every human being needs presented to them and needs to know and understand. Jesus said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so many Christians today say, I'm saved. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I said, that's good, but there's more to that scripture. I am the truth, the life. I'm whatever it takes, appointed in eternity past. You can have a relationship with me, but to have a relationship with me is to have a relationship with the Father. So Jesus says, do you have a relationship with the Father? Do you worship the Father? Do you praise the Father? Do you even get down on your knees and you can raise your hands somewhere in a private place or public place, more than likely private, and say, Heavenly Father, I have just read that Jesus Christ loves me. And His love is a transforming power. And if I'll just lift Him up, then He will draw all men unto Him. His love is a power that presses me in and constrains me. In other words, now that I know that Christ loves me, I can handle anything. And it's not by power. I've just learned how to be constrained by the supernatural divine love of Almighty God. It presses on this side, it presses on this side. And it lets me know every day in every situation and in every circumstance, there's nothing God and I cannot do. But here's the great thing they say. It's not what I want to do anymore. It's what God wants to do. I have learned it's not Terry Davis working for himself, getting things done to the praise of God. I've just read it is the love that Christ has for me that is working in me to move me forward and to urge me on and to transform me and to constrain me. That's what it is. Go back to the questions. Will the cemeteries and country churchyards look like the plowed fields? I'll read it again. Will monuments and grave slabs be overturned and vaults be shattered by those coming out? Just think, if it is night on our side of the globe when the rapture occurs, the community will wake up in the morning to find all the real Christians gone, disappeared in the night. And many may hear the sound of the midnight cry. And I love that song. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray we will take this as absolute truth and absolute reality. that every person here will feel so constrained by the love of Almighty God, that the love Christ has for them and is working things out by it in them, they will be urged to move forward and to share the gospel, the good news, the good teaching that comes from Jesus Christ, a word that is born of God, a word that is all His, a word that never changes, a word that is non-negotiable. For we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved as a result of Jesus Christ on the cross paying our sin debt in full that we could never ever pay even throughout all eternity. We are thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are thankful that we too are going to be resurrected if we are dead in Christ when it's time. Boy, what a trip it's going to be. And what a trip it's going to be if we are alive at the time of the rapture. Alive for a moment. Alive in the twinkling of an eye. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a new place. A unique glorification. Oh, how the body is going to glow and how it's going to shine and how it's going to reflect the holiness of Almighty God. And how we're going to hear the love of God when He speaks and how we're going to feel the love of God when we have communion with Him. I can only imagine the softness of His voice. And just think about it. I don't know if He'll touch us or not. But oh, if He does, can you imagine the touch of Jesus Christ? Father, I pray, set us on fire. Give us a love that cannot be quenched. Give us what You know we need to be evangelistic and to share the Word of God exactly as You have given it. For the Word of God will not return void, Jesus said. Forgive us for the sin of trying to dress up the Word of God. Saying it's too offensive today, it's too forward, it's too bold. No, it's just the Word of the living God that has come from a holy God. We need to get used to it. For it's the Word that He has given us. And if we'll do things by the Word that He has given, oh, what things will be done for the glory of God, and people will come to Christ in groves, in great numbers. There's no doubt about it. So I pray that the love Christ has for us will reflect upon that each and every day that You allow us to live. And thank God I can go tell somebody how much that God loves them and how much that Jesus Christ loves them. And He loved them so much He died for them that they may go back with Him at the rapture. Father, we love You. We thank You for the Word of the living God and for the words You have for us about the rapture of the church. It's an exciting time. More excitement is coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.